Hey, roomies, it's Heather. Thank you so much for listening to The Dance Room. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and a nice review, please, please, please. And most importantly, spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dog, whoever. We appreciate you.
When you got the urge, you gotta go full out.
So let's dance.
Welcome to The Dance Room with veteran dancers and choreographers Heather Morris and Ava Bernstein-Mitchell. Join Heather and Ava Flav as they share their stories, interview world-class dancers, and recap all your favorite TV dance shows right here on The Dance Room.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Dance Room. I'm your host, Heather Morris, and we have a very special co-host this week, and I'm so excited she's here. It's Jenna Ushkowitz.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am, like, so excited right now.
I'm so excited. This is a crossover event.
A crossover episode. We figured, why not? This is such a great opportunity.
I know.
My co-host is out.
And my co-host is out.
Soon to be. And well, I will be joining you soon.
Yes, you will be. For a very special episode.
You guys will not want to miss this episode.
No, you might poop your pants.
Probably. Probably pooping their pants. Speaking of pooping their pants, I like to ask a question at the beginning of our podcast, and it's always super random, but I want to know for you, Jenna, what did you have for breakfast this week? Or today? What did you have for breakfast today?
This made me so happy.
I love your podcast when when Kevin asks you what you had for breakfast.
Yes. Thank you.
It's so exciting.
Gosh, we stopped doing that for a while, too, just because Kevin usually has the same thing for breakfast every day.
Every single day.
So
as do I.
Stopped asking. Yeah.
Right. It's like, I only want to know about what you had for breakfast.
Okay. So yesterday, I actually got a tofu scramble with spinach from Whole Foods from, like, the hot bar. But
ooh.
I had gotten, like, a little too much, so I saved some.
Yum.
And so this morning, I woke up, and I was like, I'm going to make something special today.
Okay.
So I cut up an apple chicken sausage, you know, like one of those.
Yeah. How do you come up with this?
I sauteed that. I, you know what? I have some stuff in the fridge that lasts a long time because I never end up eating it right away.
Yeah.
So things that last. Cut it up. And then I did the rest of the tofu scramble. And then I'm not vegan or vegetarian, so I did put an egg in there. I scrambled that up. And then I put the chicken sausage in that. And then I ate it in a flourless tortilla, which is, like, made out of chickpea flour. So grain-free.
Was it good, though? Because sometimes, like, the grain-free flour tortillas are not good.
I have a trick. So this is, like, authentic. So on the griddle or on your stove, if you have a gas stove, which most people do, right?
Yeah.
You put it on super low flame, and then you put the tortilla on, like, whatever the metal thing.
Yeah.
And then you let it sit for a second, and you flip it. And it gets, like, warm and toasty and thinner. And
it's not
quite as mealy.
Oh, because sometimes it's just, like, a crispy.
Yeah, no, it's not right.
No.
Yeah, they're not right.
They're not right.
And, like, grain-free then means, like, not, like, healthy food, which doesn't taste good. So
it's only bread. It's only bread and tortilla for me. All the rest of grain-free. I love gluten-free things, but, like, bread and tortilla is just not it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like any of the bread that's gluten-free.
No, I'm with you. Actually, I do like Ezekiel sesame, though, if you toast it.
I'll have
it
to try it.
You gotta, like, almost burn it.
Because I'm just getting into that world of gluten-free.
Yes, almost burn it. Like, it's
almost
gotta be, like,
it.
Crispy.
Okay.
Because, like, it has a weird texture before if it's not, like, crispy.
You're right. It's, like, mealy.
Yes.
It's like
earth. Chewy, and you're like,
yeah.
I feel like
why did I just waste my time on this?
Yeah, exactly.
So you made the scramble, and you put it in.
And then I put it in the flourless tortillas with hot sauce, of course. And then I had two of those. And that was my breakfast.
Two.
Two of them.
Not one.
No, just two.
Okay.
They're the little ones, though. They're not, like, the big ones. I'm not getting that crazy.
That makes me so happy
I'm kind
to
of
hear
hungry,
about.
Though,
yeah. I know. I ate lunch at 11 o'clock today because I'm just
What
I'm
time
just
did you wake
hungry.
Up?
You know, 6:45.
Oh, my God.
Sensible wake up for the kids.
I've been waking up at 6:30 every day.
Why, Jenna?
Well, you know, David.
But you're a morning person.
I made myself a morning person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've always been kind of a morning person.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm more productive in the morning, so I know if I get my butt out of bed, I'll actually get more done.
Right.
Because, like, 4 o'clock, I go, like, completely, like, boo. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for it because my husband's a night person and I'm like,
oh gosh,
I can't stay up past 8:30.
That's rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in bed.
So when you wake up, do you, like, sit up and play on your phone or do you, like, get up and do things?
I usually look at my phone just to make sure I'm, like, awake or else I'll you know, sometimes if I have the luxury, I'll go back to bed if I'm still super tired. I know you're not supposed to look at your phone when you wake up. It's really bad for you. You're not supposed to even have it near your bed, but that's not possible for me. So I choose no. I choose no. So I check a little. I just check my my emails, and I like to. My favorite thing to do is unsubscribe to emails, you know, chain emails.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Favorite thing.
It's like a guilty pleasure.
No, it's so good.
It's so satisfying.
Like, unsubscribe.
You'll never get me again.
See you later.
Who knew Jenna and Heather had this in common?
So that's what I like to do in the morning before I wake up. I like to be like, get out of my inbox. I did have a... I went and got cupping today on my back for my lower back and acupuncture.
And the cups were in the shape of hearts?
Yeah, she does the little hearts. They look nice because they last a couple of days. So, yeah, they last.
Do you feel like it works any different than regular cupping?
It's the same. It's just a different shape.
Ask her before. I'm like, does this do anything different than the regular cupping?
No, it just looks prettier.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just don't look horrid like you have bruises all over your
back. Yeah, you have hearts on your back instead. She was like, any photo shoots coming up on your back? I was like, thank you for asking, because I'd be the idiot that has a photo shoot or an event the next
day. Right, as I would.
And like has cups all over
your back. Well, yeah, I mean, she lives in LA, so she's probably used to people being
100%.
Like, I have a photo shoot tomorrow. You just can't like go
on
my shoulder.
She actually did the, did you see Katy Perry's music video with the... the never whatever. And she does.
Never whatever.
She has the little heart acupuncture in her face the whole time in the video. And she did that for the video. She actually put the needles in it and everything.
So how long can you keep them in, though? Because I feel like you can't.
Well, the facial acupuncture now is like an alternative to Botox people are doing.
Yeah. I would like to try that.
Your good eyes to know. Lit up.
She was like, oh. My mom would feel better about this.
I know.
As would my husband, I'm sure.
No, everybody in our lives would feel better about this than actual Botox. Yeah.
Right. Oh. Other cupping shapes.
Other cupping shapes. Well.
Steve is trying to push ideas into our...
That's kind of dark. I mean, like, you could do, like, fun little, like, Batman shapes on your back so that you have, like, wings. Or you
That's
could do
funny.
Frenchie, like the Frenchie shadow, like for like bear. Or you could do,
your
I don't
dog
know.
Bear.
That's a lot, though.
That is a lot.
You just walk around with like shapes on your back. Because I work out in a sports bra, so like people are going to be like, I always see people who got cupped, and I'm like, at first look, you're like, what's wrong with them? And then like, you're like,
I instantly
oh,
know.
Cupped.
I know
well,
that
you're in
they're
that world,
taking care
I feel
of themselves.
Like, yeah. I do love cupping.
I think it's
though.
A thing in LA of people getting cupping.
Do you think it's just LA? I feel like in New York in the Broadway scene, people do it a lot.
I'm sure they do. I don't live in New York, and I feel like you would know that.
I have a friend who has his own self-cupping kit.
Wow. It's like when people do their eyelashes.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, how can you do that to yourself?
No. I don't trust that.
So in studio this week, we have Dina Thompson. She danced for Sia. She was in the iconic video for Sigur Rós alongside Shia LaBeouf. It is beautiful if you haven't seen it. She also started this incredible choreographer showcase called Congress or Legalized Dance, where choreographers get to showcase their performances. And it's like an inclusive audience with the choreographers and the dancers all together, so you feel like you're included. She's just badass.
So it's like a super communal like way to like get people out there,
get people
and, like,
involved
get people
in the conversation.
And,
yeah, she pays her dancers and the choreographers. It's not just a showcase. Like,
wow,
I learned so much from this interview, and it was such a blessing to be. I was like nervous to be in there with her because she's so freaking badass.
Yeah, she's like she knows what's up.
She knows what's up, and she's smart.
Yeah.
But she's also cool. I mean, like, I've known her forever, so I don't know why.
There's no reason to be nervous. But I get it.
So every week we do this thing where we talk about our week and whether we were booked or blessed or we're fighting for our life, which basically means either you're, like, struggle bus central, like, you're not doing great this week, or everything's just good and dandy and you're just happy. Like, what would you say your week was like this week, Jenna?
You know, it's a little bit of both.
Booked and blessed.
Oh, really? I have to say, okay, materialistically, I found out that I was due for an upgrade on the iPhone, so the 11 is coming, which, you know, like, is very exciting for me.
Right. But those pictures.
Ridiculous. Yes,
the
exactly.
Three cameras,
the cameras.
I'm like, what is happening?
It's wild. But everybody who has it, I'm like, it looks so cool. So I'm pretty excited about that I get the upgrade for free. We went to trivia night last night. And I think you'll really actually appreciate this. And we go to this trivia night all like every other Monday. And then we travel it to other bars where they do trivia and we bring the same team along. And there's really smart people on this team.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I'm like lacking and I'm like, yeah, sure. I think it's that one.
Let's just give an answer.
I'm like, sure. These people like work for the ACLU. They're like doing important shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just there for moral support. And last night, there's this one handout that you have to fill out, and they give you hosts' names. And then it was reality TV and hosts, and you had to match them up. And I was like,
wait,
I got it.
You're like, I finally can know this.
And like, she didn't tell us the handout. We had to grab the handout. So she was like, okay, I'm going to score next round. We were like, what's next round? She's like, the handout. And we were like, what? And like, because we're not competitive at all. I was
right.
Like, we didn't get the handout. So we ran up and got the handout, and I looked at it, and the first thing I see is The Voice, and I was like, I got it.
I can finally do this.
So there was like America's Got Talent, Project Runway, Next Top Model, So You Think You Can Dance, The Voice, American Idol. It was all these Chopped. It was all these different shows, and you had to match the host to the show. In 30 seconds, was like, got it. Bam, here you go.
You guys win?
We won first place last night.
Jenna!
We won first place last night. I mean, listen, I wasn't only me that helped, but
yeah,
I finally got to contribute.
That's exciting.
With my reality
like your skills
TV
can be put to use.
My useless knowledge.
That's like the best TV ever.
It is.
Just mindless, like,
exactly,
one-off shows.
My therapist only watches reality TV, she says, because she deals with so much drama during the day.
Yeah, she's like,
only thing I can watch.
Yeah, for sure. It might be also like an entertainer thing. Like, I think I'm like constantly thinking about creating, and then I'm like,
oh, I just need something.
I just need it.
I know, mindless.
Yeah.
People fighting. That's not us.
That's not us.
Right?
No cattiness.
No.
I'm all about the happiness
to watch
in LA.
It.
Yeah. Well,
so that was my book.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
What about you?
Fight for your life.
I was fighting this week.
Oh no.
But it was my son's 6th birthday. This week he turned 6 years old. I know. Jenna's been with me since the beginning. I got pregnant on the show and
she was dancing up until like 8 months.
I was doing cartwheels.
Wild.
For
like poor Heather.
The Spice Girls.
Yes.
While he was in my tummy. I know, but it was a 6th birthday.
Okay.
I just don't know how moms do it all. Like, I don't know how they balance, like, I have to do homework, mm-hmm. and then I have to plan a birthday party, and then I have to go shopping,
and
then
podcast.
I have to go do 2 auditions that night at 10 o'clock at night because I need to get them done.
Oh my
Self-tapes.
God.
I have to go get a TB shot to volunteer at my son's. Like, so many things.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how any moms do it.
Wow.
You just do it.
Ugh.
And then I'm like, and I'm also trying like not to drink. Like I'm trying to be healthy and like not drink a lot of coffee and drink.
Oh my gosh.
So
well,
last week was just,
cause
I know I do drink coffee.
Yeah.
That is my vice.
You need at least one of those.
Because it keeps me going. Otherwise I'm like unresponsive and just not a human.
Face down on Doheny.
Yeah. And then a mom was telling me that her son and her daughter the day before we did the birthday party had 101 fever and she brought the kids to the birthday party. I'm like,
what are you doing?
I'm
Get
sorry.
Out of here.
Why are you getting what? And then my son got sick yesterday and I'm like,
no.
Thanks.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, guys.
Honestly.
Thanks, mom. So moms just be.
Yeah.
Just be careful and be generous.
And like,
not bring your kids anywhere when they're sick.
Idiots.
Yeah, idiots. Idiots.
It was something on Grey's Anatomy. I watched the season, whatever it is, 55, episode 1 came on the other night. And I was watching it in Ellen Pompeo, Dr. Grey's, like, doing community service. And her kid's teacher, like, pulls up and is like, Meredith Grey, what are you doing? Is this some kind of community service? And she's like, yeah, sort of. And then she's like, you know, now I always saw like why you never volunteered at school and why you were never a part of like the participation of the parents. And now I get it. And she goes,
I love this impression.
You know, she was like, you know, sometimes parents don't volunteer because they're working during the day. And she was like,
Sassy.
The teacher was like,
Yeah, she's like, gulp.
I was like, it's yes, so Shonda. True.
It's so true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
I have to volunteer on Fridays. I just
what do you
like
have to
keep an eye on the teacher and the kids and see how the
do
class
Do you bring milk to the class?
I don't bring milk to the class. Like the communal breakfast thing. Well, some parents do like yeah. come bring, they
yeah,
do breakfast
bring,
for
like,
the
breakfast.
Kids.
Exactly.
Which I had no idea was a thing. I think it's an LA thing.
I know that. My mom used to do that on the East
really?
Coast. Yeah, she used to come for lunch and bring milk and like.
I don't remember that in kindergarten.
Taco Bell or something.
And Taco like, Bell.
And then I would
the
cry when she would leave.
No, I do like homework papers and I like staple them.
What?
Yeah.
In the class? But, like, where's the teacher's assistant?
Kindergarten does not have a teacher's assistant.
So they make
Can
the
you imagine
volunteer?
Having 22 5 to 6 year olds
by yourself?
By yourself?
No. I do not.
No
know.
Way.
Oy.
So that's why I volunteer, because I'm like.
It's very nice of you.
You will.
And all your free time.
I want to help. Yeah, and all my free time.
You're like, is my kid okay?
But I have to have a TV shot in order to do that. Anyways, I don't know. It's real.
It's like when you get like a rusty nail, that's when you get a TB shot, right? Like you get like pricked
it's,
by a
it's
rusty
not,
nail.
It's not. There's two. There's the TB shot and then there's the tetanus.
Oh,
they're
yes.
different.
Yes, the tetanus shot
TB
is what
is
I'm
like
thinking
a cough.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah, tuberculosis is the TB shot, which like what are we in like 1882?
I don't know, but there are moms who choose not to get their kids vaccinated.
I don't want
to
talk
and
about
then
that.
Kids
It's wild to me.
I don't understand.
And then you have measles
That's
outbreaks in
topic.
LAX. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's
okay.
going across the...
now we're getting
controversial. What daycare is allowing
That's what I'm
kids
saying.
And schools to not have shots?
I have to take Bear to get his Bordetella shot today because daycare said that he was up in for his vaccinations.
How is Bear?
Oh, Bear is temperamental. He's angry.
He seems like an angel on Instagram.
I mean, yeah, because Instagram will make you think that life is great.
Right.
Just like dog influencers are the same as regular influencers, where life looks hunky-dory all the time. And
but really,
Bear is
temperamental.
Bear's on the struggle bus. He's been fighting this week.
Oh, no.
I bought him some CBD oil to calm him
Good
down.
Good job.
Yeah, he's a mess. He got expelled from one daycare for biting somebody. But he gets very focused on dogs that are doing wrong or like humping. And so he has to go
oh,
after
he's
them.
Like, uh-huh.
And yeah, look, he's just sleeping. I have
We're
a camera.
At our dog, Cam.
And his little ears are popping up. And he's
oh,
sleeping.
And he's just such a little tiny head
little
behind
muffin.
The pillows.
Yeah, he sleeps
That's
on top
sweet.
Of the couch like a cat. Anyway, but well, you know, we're working
Bear.
On it. We're working
job,
on
Bear.
It.
Good job, Bear.
Yeah.
Good job, Bear. We like to do recaps of Dancing with the Stars, and we discuss, we don't love to watch the show. It's a great show. Amazing. It's about dancing, and it's bringing so much television that people don't get to see on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
It's just not the best dancing, but I'm going to cover it. Because
it's a phenomenon, though. People
it really is.
And they love to vote, right? They get to vote.
Oh, you get to vote. So with that said, I'm yeah. hooked.
Okay.
I'm now hooked because oh. I'm watching it every
Who are you rooting
week.
For?
I love everybody on the show right now. Yeah. Everybody's good. And I'm just excited for everyone because they're making so much progress. But I want to say my favorite contestant is Karamo from Queer Eye.
I mean, he's my favorite person.
He seems so genuine. Like when he's talking to anybody or the camera or somebody, it's like
he's looking into
at
your
you.
Soul.
It's true.
Yeah. He's really looking into your soul. Do you watch Queer Eye?
I don't.
Oh, you should watch Queer Eye.
I should.
Yeah.
There's so many things I should watch.
I feel like in Dancing with the Stars, too, because I don't watch it on the regular, but I know I would get hooked. Like, I watched your season. I watched Amber's season. But, like, I feel like people learn a lot about themselves, especially the non-dancers who come in, like Karamo, you know, who really push themselves farther than what they think they could ever achieve. And
exactly.
So I think there's something very inspiring about that that people like to watch.
It's like, and Lamar Odom.
For.
Exactly. Like Lamar Odom was night and day from last week where he was on, and he was so self-deprecating
he's
in his comments.
It.
He's on it.
Oh my God.
I know.
Crazy.
So he's on it and he's dancing. And last week he was just so disappointed with his performance and himself. And then this week it was like 360 change.
Aww.
Where now he was like excited to be there and was happy to perform. He's
Aww.
Performing with PETA. It was really cute.
His confidence is growing.
His confidence is growing. So I'm hooked and I love everybody.
Do you like Hannah? Bachelor Hannah?
Well, my controversy is with Hannah because she's an amazing dancer.
Is she really?
She's so good. Because she grew up dancing in like pageants.
Okay.
So I'm like, why are you on this show?
Okay. Yeah.
I get it. I get it. I do. And I said, like, you know, tables turn on me because I was on the show and it was controversial and why I was good.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about her. I'm like, it's not fair.
Do you think she'll get kicked off because of that, though?
Maybe.
Because people are going to catch on?
Maybe. I don't think she'll win. But she could go pretty far because she is relatable.
And she also has a lot of followers. Like, right. Bachelor Nation is crazy.
Yeah,
so.
But everybody does. Like, Karamo has like 2.5 million followers.
Okay. All right.
So,
well, I'll be curious then.
Yeah. It's a fun show to watch. I want to say, though, Allie Brooke, who was on Fifth Harmony, she had a segment last week where she explained that she was cyberbullied by fans for her dancing.
Because she's on the show as well?
Because she's on the show.
Oh.
And all of her fans, like, in all the comments of the performances were saying that she was a terrible dancer. That, like, you know, like, cyberbullying is just crazy. Like, talking.
You try it.
Exactly.
You get up there and put yourself
she's
in front
so
of millions
good.
Of people. Poor
she is
girl.
Not a terrible dancer.
So she just came out and said she was being bullied because of all
last
of
week she had a big, like, breakthrough moment because she did an amazing performance.
F them all.
But I'm
so
also
rude.
Like, I'm also pissed at anybody who's on the internet who's like taking advantage of the fact that we are open communication and anybody in that position
is like a moving target.
Yes,
it's not fair. And it's also like you can sit behind your screen all you want and judge and criticize, but like you try and take risks and do things and, you know, not feel vulnerable. Like it's they don't get it.
She's a powerhouse, though, that she's doing the show and dancing and still going through that. I'll tell you my favorite thing about Dancing with the Stars is the awkward audience shots. Do you ever watch those on shows when, like, they cut to somebody who's not ready to be on camera?
That's my favorite.
It's, like, the best.
And they're, like, staring off into the
space. Or they have the weirdest shots. Or they're right behind the host and they're, like, trying not to look at the host because you know that the MJ
there?
Is like, don't look at the camera when the camera comes to you.
And yet all they want to do is like look in the camera
exactly.
and like wave.
Yeah, and wave. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
But they yell like, at you not to.
I know. That is awkward, though. Like, how do you not look at like where, but you want to look at the host, but you don't want to make it look like you're looking into the camera, so you don't look at all, and then you look away and you look awkward. What, you know, what's right?
You just told us everything that's in their mind.
That's what I would do.
Exactly. Like all the things that you could do. Okay, well, on to our guest this week, Dina Thompson.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and a nice review. And most importantly, spread the word. Tell your friends. We appreciate you. So we have Dina Thompson in studio with us. She is a maverick performer, choreographer, and artist. I stole that from your bio. Yeah. Who's performed with artists like Sia, Madonna, Florence, and The Machine, and that unforgettable Sigur Rós video with Shia LaBeouf. Most recently, you can see her choreography in Apple commercials, KFC, yes, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the new film Booksmart, directed by Olivia Wilde. Dina is also the co-founder of the highly loved performance dance show Congress, where budding professional choreographers get to show off their work to an entertaining industry audience. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks.
Is it weird
me.
Just to sit through all that? You're like, that's
absolutely
me, right?
Someone else is reading your resume.
Yes, yeah, you're like, oh
yeah, I did that.
It's super weird looking it up too. Like, I'm looking into their lives right now. Yeah. Like,
totally
what is
stalking.
Happening? Yeah, it's so crazy.
Want to preface though, love your candor. I think it's one of your best qualities, but they will bleep you out if you curse.
I got it.
Which well,
is
we totally saw a legalized dance, and
I don't want to stifle your character.
Not at all.
Thanks, friend.
Just know it'll be like, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yeah. But you were like, I swear a lot, I'm going to have to take care of that. Like, we're good with that.
No, yeah.
It's great
do
here.
You, boo.
Okay, cool.
Do you swear in front of your son at home?
Oh, correct She's... answer would be no. I don't.
The right one here would be no. Right
no, I no. don't.
Does he, does, has he picked up anything from you? Like, does he say curse words?
He does not say curse words, but we do talk about the good things, the bad things, the adult things, and the kid things, Perfect. And what's the difference in when you are allowed to use them. So it's a very open conversation for my family.
Great. Good.
But he knows that he cannot use them until he is older.
Okay.
I love that.
So you haven't caught him saying a bad word?
Not yet. He'll ask me.
Oh, I love that.
He'll
so cute.
Ask me, what does, is pissed a bad word?
Oh. Huh? Well, you probably shouldn't say it, right?
In what just don't say that. Yeah, well, if you go to school.
Pissing. Yeah, no, yeah, we're not going there. But.
Peeing. Yeah. What kind of household, like, do you and Rich have? Like, you're basically saying, like, you guys talk about everything. And you seem like the person that is open about most everything. Like, are you guys dancing all the time? Like,
yeah. Well, like I said, it's a pretty open household of communication and talent and thoughts and opinions. So, like, if he wants to dance, we will put on Star Wars masks and dance with capes on to Michael yes. Jackson, or he's really obsessed with the Jabberwockies. Shout out Jabberwockies.
Yes.
So great if he wants to dance, have. Yeah. Or if he wants to play theater, we'll do acting plays, or he's really into Stop slow it. Motion stuff.
Okay.
So we'll get out our iPhone and do the slow motion. Like he runs and jumps onto the couch, but he needs to see
it. So do you do slow
it.
Motion and then more, like slow motion on the, so he's just crazy so, slow?
Yes.
Crazy slow.
Because he wants to also go slow.
Yes.
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 This warms my heart so
yes.
much.
Yes.
Do you have any like strict mommy rules with him? Like what are, I mean, you are open in communication, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. Like, what are your limits with him?
Well, you know, the thing that I'm having to deal with now is his aggressive energy, right? Okay. He's a boy. He wants to conquer, destroy, repeat.
Yes.
You know? So,
yeah.
But we have to understand that sometimes that behavior is not wanted by the other individual that you're playing with. So no, please don't bash my head into the pillow. Like, oh, yeah, I don't yeah. want to play like this.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like you put it really right. Because for me with my kids, I'm like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Yeah. It's really like, okay, well, this is what the rule is. Like,
yeah. Mom
most
doesn't like to do
females
this.
Yes. don't like when boys play rough.
Yes.
So just don't
yes.
smack me hard yes. against the wall.
Yes, like, that's what I say too.
I love that.
That's crazy. Are you going to let him be a dancer?
I think if he wants to be a dancer, yes, I will let him explore. I will let him explore whatever he wants
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've always wondered this, and this is like really in detail, but what is it like to be married as a dancer? Like, I want to know, do you guys have dance sex? And like,
first of all,
listen, I have never even dated a dancer.
What is dance sex?
I don't know. In my mind, I fantasize about this idea of like, if you're two dancers, you like have music on, you're like making sexy time and you're choreographing.
I'm dying right now.
I'm loving
These
this.
Are my deepest
I
inner
too
thoughts.
Am married to a dancer.
A performer. Do you guys
yeah.
have dance sex?
No. Regular people sex.
There's no performance aspect to it.
First of all, music rarely gets into the equation because you're in the moment.
Right. I created this
it
fantasy
happens.
Of something.
Sorry, young audience.
I get it.
Yeah, you know. But,
yeah,
so,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I don't
think that's
Heather.
A part of mine either.
Guys, my heart is broken.
I know. I'm so sorry, Heather.
Fantasy's all. Just
true that.
Yeah.
But it could be kind of fun if, like, maybe I'll test this out and I'll have to get back to you guys.
Okay.
But, like, you know, when you know that it's about to happen, maybe I just call out a quick 5, 6, 7, 8 and
that,
start, you know what I mean?
Like, that got me excited. Like, sexy.
Yo, that is brilliant.
Oh, or maybe if you want the rhythm to go faster, you just 5, 6, 7, 8, 0, 1 and you just give him the rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
This is where I need it. This is where I need it.
I don't know.
Guys. Wait, but this could be like this could be some kind of movement teaching thing.
This
where
could
like,
also be a skit.
It could be.
Well, yeah, it could definitely be a skit. But I'm thinking more of like a class.
I know.
Because I'm interested in going to like a bonding class or something like that.
Oh.
I want to know if they have those, like where you go to a studio and somebody teaches you how to like do bondage or like crazy things together.
That's amazing.
I think they
I'm
would
sure
have
they
that.
Do. They
for
have
sure.
To have
we'll
that.
Have to find out where this is.
For sure.
Okay, well, we're
fact
getting
check,
really off track.
Fact check, Steve.
Fact check.
Yeah. Let us know. Yeah. Typing away.
So on to really dance. Yeah. You're widely known for your individuality and creating movement that evokes like a real response with your audience. Where does your originality stem from, do you think?
Yeah, I think originality really stems from my own personal experience because I like to bring out my emotion from within. So it's very narrative based. Mm-hmm. And I think it really comes down to my training as a dancer. I remember going to college and my whole college training was about creating a story, that the movement was set in order to create a story. And that was the first time that I really learned about the narrative of dance. And then from there, that was just like the little seed within my soul. And then from there, I really got to branch out and see how far I could do that, because I really don't dance without allowing my personal experience to come in, because then it's just really boring to me.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Colorado State University.
Oh, okay.
There's a side to that that I feel like I've never gotten to like nurture, or it's not really taught, because you have so much intention behind your performance and every movement you have. There's something behind it.
And you're like inhibitionless, like it's just fearless.
Did that that's come from your study at Colorado?
Well, I think that's where the seeds started. But then from there, after coming to Los Angeles, I met Kitty McNamee, who was the founder of Hysterica Dance. And that's also where I met Ryan Heffington. Mm. But in this process of going into Hysterica Dance, she scared the crap out of me in ways that, like, it unleashed my artist. She was the one who broke my molding as the ballerina, as the jazz dancer, and she was the one that made my heart just go forward.
Wow.
Yeah, the rehearsal process. I mean, it was, I would be doing a duet, for example, and she would come up and she would whisper things in my ear, things character-based, like, would you really allow him to touch you like that if you found him with another woman? And then she would walk away and she would turn on the music.
That even makes me feel something,
right? Like, yeah, she wants to see it done very personally.
Yes.
Or I remember one time when I was pregnant, because she's like a witch and she just knew
something.
That I was pregnant.
Sure.
Oh, this is before you were showing her.
Oh, didn't tell her. No, absolutely not. So I had to do this duet, and it was kind of about... It wasn't domestic abuse, but, like, there was tension in the relationship. And she goes, Dina, I want you to walk up to Marlon Pelayo, who was my duet partner. Mm-hmm. And this is about 5 minutes before we had to go on stage. And she goes, I want you to tell him that you're pregnant. And I looked at her and I was like, Kitty, I don't think it's a good idea to tell him. Because in the duet, he was, like, picking me up and throwing me down on the ground. And it was very aggressive. Uh-huh. And so I remember I walked up to him and I was like, Kitty wants me to tell you that I'm pregnant. And he goes, no, you're not. He starts crying because he doesn't think that he can do this to me in this duet.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we had to walk on stage.
Oh, my God.
And he had to deal with
that
while we were performing. And so it's like stuff like that unleashes this different part of your artist. Yes.
Whoa.
She's like a director. She like knows how to get this acting out of you.
That's wild.
So that's where it started.
So how do you balance that part with then, like, sometimes I feel like it can follow you into your home life. Like, for me, when I would do classes like that where I would learn to get into character or learn to make it more personal, how do you take that home? Like, do you take that home with you, or how do you balance that out? Like, is there a way to turn it off for you, or is it only when you're performing and then when you go home you're a different person?
Yeah, I think that sometimes it does leak into your personal life, but I think that you are, if you are with someone that is aware of that and that is intelligent enough to understand that you may be coming home with this stress that is coming from a character that you are playing. If you have that understanding partner of an artist, they allow you some space to like settle
to
back into
that,
life.
Yeah.
To like, and it's really good because I get, you know, if Rich sees that I am that way, he'll let me go outside and just play music and write in my journal. So what helps me get out of characters is like writing I just write and write and write so that it gets out. The energy has to get out of my body, and then I can come to a clean slate.
That's why I write, too. It's funny because you know how people say if you're upset about something, you write the email but don't send it?
Mm-hmm.
It really helps.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I write, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get rid of it.
Oh,
and you're like, okay, I can move on.
Good thing to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
it really helps. Yeah. Gets it out your head onto something, and then
the
you
little
can, like,
wand from Harry Potter and just
away.
Pulls it and puts
yes.
it into a little...
I don't watch Harry Potter, but
oh, I'm just like a huge Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
So from the singularity to be different, and then to show there are in fact different sides to dancers, you created your own live choreographer showcase in Los Angeles called Legalized Dance. Can you explain what that is to our audience who maybe
yes.
haven't seen it?
Yeah, so Congress it's made by Zach Ryan Schlegel and I. It's pretty much a salon collective platform where we ask different base genre style of dancers or choreographers first to come and show their work, but instead of being in this orthodox stage where it's raised and the audience is below you, we created this intimate gathering where the performers and the audience share the same floor so that the human experience of them can be perceived at the same time between performer and audience member. And so we also allow it to be open for discussion, to open the boundaries of our community and to really allow the LA community to talk about dance and talk about how they feel and all of that stuff. So it's pretty much the gist of Congress.
It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
If you guys missed it, it was about a couple weeks ago.
But you do it, I think, every month or so, correct?
Yeah, we do
every
it bi-monthly.
Oh, bi-monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Word. So many opportunities to see.
You do this thing where you, like, you don't explain what the piece is about, and you ask a quote. What did you ask the question in the audience? You asked us, like, a specific question.
Yeah.
What was it?
So each Congress has a specific question that is pretty much our through line for each show. So Congress Volume 5, our question was, do you think every performance deserves an applause?
That's what it was.
Yep,
yeah.
I remember.
Because they're real questions that we want to talk about. Because the idea is that, are you conditioned or are you not? Are you actually clapping because something is good? Or are you doing it just because that seems to be the status quo?
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that we as artists need to think about, because we should be trying to gain that acceptance. And I think it's something important for the audience to think about, because I don't think they do.
Right.
I really don't.
Not
think
at all.
They,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe the in a in
a
my
dancer,
mind
yeah.
I do, because I'll be like, well, I kind of have to clap right now.
Yeah.
I'm
literally.
Not sure if I want to, but I will.
Yeah.
A lot of people gave similar responses, and I did agree that the fact that they got up there and shared warrants an applause. But then it gets deeper where you're like, okay, now how honest do you really want to be? Is it a loud applause? Is it a quiet one? Is it the hoop and holler? That's when you can be more authentic. But I think overall I loved that most people said the fact that they shared warrants an applause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
I think it's so interesting.
What were one of the past other questions? Like,
I think our first one was, why should choreographers get paid?
Oh.
And then why is live performance important to see? And then when does a dancer become an artist?
Oh.
These are good ones.
These are good.
Yeah.
See, this is why we love Dina, guys.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to talk about it.
Think about things a little bit deeper.
She's
no, but that's actually things as dancers that we don't talk about and that, like, are not kosher to say to somebody who's a choreographer or just somebody on set, or like things that I want the discussion to be open. And I think that's like where I feel like I really relate to you, is that you're saying in Legalized Dance, like you said to us at the audience, dancers are not credited enough. We do not get the recognition that we deserve. We are underpaid. We are the last to be hired. And it just really translated through everything you do.
What do you hope that creating this platform does? Like, what do you hope it does for the dance community or dancers themselves?
Really, I hope it just raises the awareness of LA as a whole. I don't think they understand how hard we work. I don't think that they understand what we go through in this industry. So I want to bring the awareness to them. And I also think that as dancers, our self-worth has gotten so low. That I can't stand it. And I will not allow to see the next generation to come in thinking that they shouldn't get food. They should do things for free for exposure. Yeah. I am here to be this powerful voice to remind us as an industry and to remind the world that we are one of the greatest artists that exist.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So how do dancers submit for this legalized dance?
Yeah, there's a page on our website, legalizeddance.com, and there's a submission form in there. And there's you have to, like, head it your name and then submission for Congress, and then you just send, like, a 3 to 5 minute clip on what you do. And then Zach and I review it, and we put it in the canon for future Congresses.
So go submit for that if you are interested in doing that.
I love seeing artists that I have never seen.
Me too.
Never met.
Me
never
too.
Knew they were on the scene. Like, there was a girl who started her solo. It was like 2 minutes in silence where I was like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was some really great work.
Well, like, look, I mean, we live in the city where every dancer in the world comes to.
Yeah.
Every single dancer.
Yes.
This is the city.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating to me that LA does not have platforms every weekend that we're going to see dance. You know, like New York has it, which is great, but like LA, hello, LA, where, you know, why don't we have this? And we should be, because the talent that we have here is
insane. You know, you're basically saying, like, you have this stage to do whatever you want to do, mm-hmm. and
do
you
it.
Can. You
and
can do
they
it.
Get paid on my stage.
Oh,
come
do
on.
They?
Girl. Come through.
Girl.
Okay, Dina.
No, I'm not playing.
What?
No, I'm not playing. Yes, every choreographer that does my show, we get paid.
That's
of course,
awesome.
It's not, you know,
no, but
it's
still,
not
but
like,
Dina,
fact
like
that
that's.
You pay.
That's huge.
We need to
that's
change.
Huge. Change the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There should be no reason why you're working for free. If I can pay dancers,
look,
there's no reason that nobody else should be paid. Like, none.
Yeah. Wow.
I am just so happy to be in your presence. Because that is so
like,
awesome.
Legit.
No, really.
Detail
never
we did
heard
not
of
know.
Guys at home. Never heard of.
Yeah.
So you recently worked with Olivia Wilde in her new directorial debut, Booksmart, where you choreographed a scene for the lead actress, Sabine Feldstein. Mm-hmm. What is Olivia's process like?
She's super open. She's super into discussing ideas, what you want to do. So it was, she gave me like this whole playground to play with. Whatever I wanted to do was pretty much anything anything. So she was super cool, super chill. I told her that I wanted to do a one shot. Her eyes got really big because
she's
it's,
like, bling, bling,
it's,
bling,
very,
one shot.
It's very hard. But I was like, screw it. Let's do it. Like,
oh, so she just let you, it's your playground.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could do whatever I want. And it was such a warm environment, so loving, so honest.
Yeah.
And both of those actors were great. Homeboy had never danced a day in his life. And it was the most amazing experience for me to go through. It was just super, super cool.
What are your tips for working with actors who've never danced before, or just people on set in general? Like, what do you have, like, go-to things that you like to say to people, or how do you get them out of their head?
How do you make them feel comfortable?
I think the thing is, you know, they've never been in this, so they're super nervous. They're super scared. It's just, like, us in a room, and I'm sitting there judging them, you know? It's super scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the biggest part about making people feel comfortable is for you to help them understand that you are also just a person in this room. I am no longer like a choreographer or a dancer.
Right.
I am here to make you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on whatever their personality is, you're going to learn the tactics that you have to take from what they need from you. But most of the time it's patience.
Mm-hmm.
Patience.
Absolutely.
And then allowing them to learn their body as you're teaching their choreography. Because I think as choreographers, what we forget is that people aren't going to move exactly like how we move. The only people that know how to do that are professional dancers.
Yeah.
Yep. Non-dancers aren't going to execute the same movement how I do. And I need to be open as a choreographer to understand that and then to shape it as good as it can be on their own body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a good choreographer
does. So if they can't do something, you'll say like, hey, well, if that doesn't work, like, let's try you doing it like this. Or how would you do it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
It has to be open for discussion.
It's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always knowing, like, if they can't do it, like, what is it that they just did? And then, like, use that because then they'll feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's great. It's good that you know, like, for people listening at home to slow down and learn how to work with each individual and not just, a lot of times first time choreographers working with them, you're like, oh God, just chill.
You forget it's not about you. It's not about you. You're trying to get the product. You're trying to create you know, finish the vision.
Exactly.
So it's not about you.
And there's so much production going on the whole time and like so many people telling you what to do. You're like, oh my God, just go away and let me do my job. So aside from the creative questions, we like to know like basic job things and like stuff about you. What was your first job you did in LA?
My first job. Isn't that funny that you just know what it is?
Exactly.
That's funny. Anyways, it was the American Music Awards.
Come on.
I was signed with McDonald Selznick and Associates.
Yes, I'm gonna say.
They did not send me out on the call. So I threw up my middle fingers and I went anyways.
Yep.
I was not,
as you should have.
I was not invited. I crashed the audition.
I crashed my first tour audition.
That's right.
And didn't you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? No one knows what you want except for you. So did the audition, got the job. It was Tracy Phillips and Dominic for Adam Lambert. This was his first big
debut?
Song coming out. Yeah, it was For Your Entertainment. And I remember starting out on the floor and, it was like burlesque slash bondage slash like amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say everything in your genre.
Yeah. It's like my coming out to the LA world. So that was my first job.
That's awesome. That's
and
a great first
it.
Job.
Sure did.
Absolutely.
What was your worst job that you've had?
My worst job.
These are my favorite ones. Yeah. Just thinking about things that people do, like
a friend of mine was
a poop emoji for like a Nickelodeon show. And they sprayed water at them while they were dressed as poop emojis. And I'm like, who?
Yep. They hire professionals
what?
For that.
Oh.
Look.
Anyway, not to get you off of what you're thinking your worst job was, but
well, I think that there's a difference in connotation when you ask me what the worst job I did was. I know what maybe the most ridiculous job was, but I don't think it was the worst job.
We'll take ridiculous. Okay.
But I was dressed up as a human pistachio.
Stop
for
it.
That commercial.
Yes.
Yo, commercial, you were in that one. Okay.
Sure was.
Yes.
Doing
Whoop-Bum Gundam style.
Yes.
And they're like, they're literally just legs and arms.
Yes.
And a pistachio.
And then the shell at one moment pops off because there's two strings going off. And then we just start doing Gundam style. We couldn't take them off. So there were literal like straw holes.
Oh, my God.
We couldn't sit down.
What?
We're in heels.
To drink?
I was going to say, we're in heels.
Yeah, it was.
Bless them.
So then what constitutes as like the worst job for you?
I mean, the worst job is when you're treated like you shouldn't be treated.
Yeah, exactly.
For example, I just did a job a week ago.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I got to hire 15 professional dancers. It was great. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't want to give me the prep time that I asked. They didn't want to give me the props. They didn't want to give.
Of course they didn't.
They didn't want to give me the 11 staircase that was 12 feet high. Great. I can handle it, but I'm not very happy about it, but I'll handle it. Fine. So then we go on to the set, and it's just so funny that the DP just thinks that
The DP
can tell you that you should change your choreography because my camera angle doesn't work this way.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh.
So, just trying to tell them how...
So,
diplomatically, of course, how that doesn't work.
Which, how would that happen? How would that come across? Like, what would you say?
Yeah, well, he asked me if I could change the choreography, and I was like, but you understand that now I'm going to have to go from the top of the piece, and I will have to restage 15 people plus the lead actress. Like we've been in
on the spot.
Yeah.
And his response was, well, can't we just see it?
Oh,
I'm sorry. See, you just think that I can just...
They really do. They have no idea what we do.
Okay.
It is remarkable.
Right. So you walk up to your dancers, you have a really big smile on your face, and you're
like this.
And you're like, look, shit's going to go down. But we just have to show him that this is going to fail.
Yes.
So, of course, I'm doing my thing. I get it done. And then finally the director sees it, and he's like, yeah, let's go back to the original. Right. Because let me tell you something. I studied. I did my job. I know how to do my job, DP. You focus on your job, I'll focus on mine.
Yes.
So, and all the while, the director never even really saw, had an opinion or cared. And
they have no idea. So then, it's great, blah, blah, blah. We're doing it. It's like 17 time, 20 time. And then they get on the microphone. They're like, okay, great, that's lunch. Director walks up to the actress, grabs her arm and walks out. Everyone else leaves. And I'm standing there with my assistant, and the dancers are kind of just looking at me.
Not a word to anybody.
No.
Around you.
The dancers are kind of looking at me like, is that, are we...
Like, so what do we do?
Yeah, is that, are we
good
done?
Job,
or
nobody acknowledged anybody
dancers
in the room.
Lunch.
Nobody like, acknowledged...
I can't.
The
I
department
can't.
At all.
I was just on set like that. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It really happened,
that's,
though.
We did a job about a year ago, and we were in this, it was the same thing, like, the lead actress couldn't quite get it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it from 12
gosh.
O'clock, or it was like 11 o'clock to like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
It was nuts.
The director didn't come up and say one word to us, didn't say, you guys are doing really good.
We're blistering.
I appreciate
our feet
you
are
being
dying.
Here.
We're, nothing.
Only walked around, faced straight to the actress, said words to her, and then kept about his business.
Didn't
say
exist.
A word. We were not.
We're literally the scene. But nobody spoke to
not
us.
One
yeah.
word. Yeah, that's my
it's
experience
crazy.
As well.
No bathroom breaks. Nobody said you can take a 5
because
your feet hurt.
Can I go to the restroom? Like,
I just sit down.
You shoot for 3 hours
like,
and don't give
okay.
us a moment.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we start kicking it.
Yeah, live your life. Those are the worst jobs.
Are the worst jobs.
Yeah. Yes, the respect.
The respect
None.
From other people. But you're doing a fantastic job. Has there ever been a job that you were in the running for that you were like gung-ho about and you wanted it super bad and you didn't end up getting it?
Gung-ho about.
Like, this is my job.
Steve is laughing at me because I said gung-ho.
I like gung-ho. I understand it. You know, I don't think so because I think just in this industry there's so much rejection that at one point you can really hope for something, but it's almost like not getting your hopes up too high just because we deal with rejection all the time.
Yeah.
That I don't think I've ever been bummed in this version of my life. I will say when I was younger, when I wanted to like go on tours, the one was Lady Gaga for me.
The job that got away.
Yeah. But after realizing that that's not your call and you have something different to offer,
then
you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine.
So then younger Ava, how would she, or Ava, younger Dina, how would she have like looked at that? Like not getting the tour, like what would have been your response as compared to now? Like what's the difference?
I remember getting cut. I thought I killed it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I am the one to dance for Lady Gaga.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you are.
It.
For
probably
me, you
did.
Are too.
And I got cut right away and I went to my car and I just cried.
Oh,
when you want something so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it really hurts your soul, your heart.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, there my dream goes. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But like I just said, I think that the older version, Dina, I would look back on myself and just remind myself that I had a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something way bigger than dancing behind a pop artist.
Mm-hmm.
I was never supposed to be that person.
Mm.
And it's just realizing what your art is and who you want to be and what you want your legacy to hold.
Yeah.
And the older person knows that now. But I think the younger generation should also just realize that you have a different...
Yeah.
A different path.
Yeah.
It's funny that you refer to yourself in like different phases or like it's a different life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Like
it
I'm
is.
A different person.
Yeah. An artist learns so much about themselves, art, people, there's a lot going on.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I've had a couple experiences where like I'm really close with God. So I can hear, I understand when he talks to me. So I've had jobs where, you know, I wanted and I didn't get, and you know, you're a little bummed out. But then I've had those jobs where I knew they were mine.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where I, like, it was different. And I remember auditioning for a Britney Spears tour, and I didn't get it. I was, like, in the finals, and they sent me home. But then, like, a month later, after they had been through tour rehearsals, they called me back in. They asked me to come join the tour as a swing. And I was like, I knew it.
No
I kept
way.
That entire time, I was like, this is my job. And I'm not just saying that because, like, you know, for selfish reasons, but I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same how I felt when I auditioned for Justin Timberlake, the job I wasn't invited to, the audition I wasn't invited to. I was like, this is my job. So I'm just going to crash it. My agent told me not to go. She was like, well, don't say we sent you. I was like, well, I'm going.
Right.
And
they'll
I went.
Never,
and I booked it. Yeah. Just certain, like, there's those two stand out to me where I'm like, that served differently than like, oh, I'm bummed because I just knew it was for me. Those were like viscerally, like I knew.
In your heart, you knew.
Mm-hmm. It was different.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, if you weren't dancing, what would you be doing? with your life? Your face went blank like you didn't.
What?
Oh,
what?
My gosh.
A life without dancing.
I know. Well, because in my mind, I'm like, there is no way. If you only give yourself one option, there's only one way to go. But I think that, you know, because I've gotten really, because of this whole narrative storytelling and realizing that it's like a real passion within myself, I realized that I don't want to be behind the camera anymore. Oh. I don't. I'm not going to be. I decided like 2 years ago.
Yes.
So I will be in front of it.
Great.
And I want to tackle the actor scene.
Yeah.
I know a lot of dancers say that. I know we all try to go into that thing. But I'm giving myself that path and I will not. There is no option. Other than that.
You recently just did a film, correct?
I did.
It's like a thriller film.
I did.
What's the title of that film and what is your role?
Yeah, it's called The Turning. The director is Floria Sigismondi. It's an Amblin Entertainment film. It's from a novel, Henry James novel back in like 1950, but I play Jessel and she is the prior nanny to these two children, and the whole story is about learning what happened to Miss Jessel.
Oh, so you're the mystery.
Mystery.
Yeah. Was it fun to shoot a thriller film? Or that was kind of a dumb question because I feel like this is what you
I feel like
would
this
be.
Is your jam.
Totally, it's okay. Totally my jam.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing. I mean, that's the thing, like stepping onto a set like this where it's so like it's a conglomerate industry and production company. And you like I sat there and I watched everyone meticulously, like, oh, what's their job? What are they doing? Like to see the lead actors act was so interesting to me. You know, Finn Wolfhard was in it from Stranger Things, and to watch this little homie become the become this man and playing this, you know, guy. I'm just like, wow, it's super inspiring to see people do what you want to do.
Has your transition been pretty easy from acting to dancing? I feel like you're a great actress though in general. Like even within your dancing, and I know there will be studying to come along with it, but has it been fairly easy or difficult?
No, I think the hardest part is in this industry, no one believes in you as much as you believe in yourself. The hardest part is finding that person who believes in you just as much as you believe in yourself. And those are the people that have the connections that are going to get you this way.
Through those doors.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the hardest part. But, you know, like I knew Floria Sigismondi and because I did David Bowie with her for the Next Day music video. Mm. And she saw this role and she was like, oh, my gosh, I need Dina. Dina needs to do it. And production didn't want another American to come because we were shooting in Ireland. They were like, no, we don't have a budget.
Major.
And Floria fought for me.
So all odds were against you.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't audition. My camera test was my audition for production because they didn't understand why Dina had to come.
Right.
Who is this dancer?
Dina.
Yeah.
So you just always have to prove people wrong over and over again, which I'm fine with. But, like, just don't make me. You know?
Gosh, listen to me the first time.
Yeah, just listen. Yeah. I can
don't
do this.
Don't make me. I can do it.
I can do this.
Yes.
Okay, so then, aside from the arts, what would you be doing?
Okay, so I've always been really interested in sociology or the study of different cultures and behavior because I love to go like to public places and just watch people's human behavior.
People watching is my favorite thing to do.
You can learn so much about someone, like, and then I love to create their whole
narrative,
their story. Oh!
So good.
I love
it. Yes, me too.
Yeah.
I give names.
Like what they have.
Yeah. Yes,
you get everything. Yes. What towels they have.
Come on.
Oh, girl,
backstories.
Yes, you can go in.
Guys, it's so you go much hard. Fun.
Oh,
this is great.
It's a thing.
Where's your favorite place to people watch?
Hotels, like lobbies, malls.
Yep. Yep.
Airports.
My first date with Taylor, we were people watching at Denny's. That's what we did. We sat there and people watched. We didn't even talk. We just stared at people.
I mean, any place is a good place to people watch,
any place.
Honestly.
Any place.
Yeah. Any place.
Yeah.
I get really self-conscious, though, sometimes.
No,
I'm like, they know I'm staring at them.
Oh, no.
100%.
And you don't even give a and give them a backstory. Girl, it's so much fun.
By the way, you haven't sworn this whole time.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys, I did go to school, so I think it's engraved in there somewhere.
I know. I noticed that. I'm like, oh.
God, you're doing so good. Maybe a couple times, but like doing really, really good.
Thanks. I'll do it at the end.
What is your vice, since we're on it? But
oh, my gosh.
Do you have any vices?
Really? I have like 17.
What's your biggest spice?
No, oh my gosh. Okay, so just I'm gonna go there. So I love watching criminal stories.
Oh yes.
Obsessed with that. Just whatever. I love to watch Say Yes to the Dress.
Dina Thompson. I never would have guessed
this. Surprises me though. Yeah. I love that.
So yeah.
Never would have guessed it.
Yeah, it's like the fantasy of like, oh,
yes.
Like,
I love that.
That's the girl part of me.
I love it.
But then my other vices are bad vices. Mm-hmm. You know, I need a glass or two or three or four at the end of the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I think that my real vice would be hanging out with my friends.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I go in with my friends.
I'm all about chilling with my friends.
Yeah.
I'm only social in that way. Like, I just want to hang out. And it's like, how do you relay that to your husband? Like, I don't want to be a mom today. I just want to hang out with my friends.
Yeah. It's hard, but I just, like, I know. I get it.
Yeah.
I tell Rich, look, I need to be inspired. Y'all are stressing me out.
See?
I'm getting out. And I'm going to be back.
I'm getting out.
I'll be back when he's asleep. And I'm probably going to be a little, fun.
Yes.
So, couple of ices here and there.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favorite on-set snack?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like...
Crafty Kryptonite.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I don't visit Crafty. But I think it's... Yeah, I'm not one of those. Oh, I think it's... the salted pretzels with the peanut butter in them.
Mm.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And they always keep it in the tub, too.
The tub.
Yes.
I can't keep it around my house because I'll just eat the whole thing.
I know. Don't do it.
Costco? No. Not for us. If your house was on fire, what three things would you go inside to grab?
You guys.
Yeah. I know. They're legit questions.
Okay. My son.
Please.
I would grab my son.
Yeah.
I would grab Rich.
Uh-huh.
But if we had to talk about material things, I would grab my picture book.
Mm-hmm.
I would grab my hard drive.
Nice.
And I would grab my mother's wedding picture.
I love it.
Great. Is it the original?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's important.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's all we have. The only question I want to ask you is, we have an eight ball, a magic eight ball sitting here on the table.
Oh, dope.
And we like to ask our guests to ask the magic eight ball a question.
Yep.
Aloud.
And aloud. See what it says.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm going to ask it if I will meet Tilda Swinton in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's really specific.
Well, you got to let the universe know specifically what you want. It can't be general.
Absolutely.
No, if I would have said Tilda, you know, I could have met just a five-year-old girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her name is Tilda. You know what I'm saying? It says...
Oh, shoot.
It says, just smile and look pretty.
Smile and look pretty. That means maybe, perhaps.
That's a maybe, and perhaps in the language of the Magic 8-Ball.
Yes. Yeah. It's
like, just smile and look pretty. Yeah, wait and see.
No, but I do have something that I would like to tell the younger generation.
Okay.
Oh, please do.
I just want you all to know, like I said before, that you believe in yourself more than anyone else believes in you. You can make anything happen. The biggest things I have to tell you on success is to study the greats, do your research, take class from people that have been where you want to be, and never give up. And that's all I want to say.
I love
those
that.
Those are amazing.
That was beautiful.
I love that. Thank you for
Friends.
Thanks for the tip. Yeah. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, guys.
We really do.
Thanks. What's your handles?
At Dina Thompson, DennaThomsen. And then I think that's it.
Does anybody ever call you Denna?
Yeah.
I always want to call you Denna when I see your name.
Yeah.
Never, because I know you.
Yeah.
But I always go, Denna.
No, I know. Yeah. It's because my mom set me up to fail the moment I came out. She was like, oh, yeah? You think this is cute?
Money.
Yeah,
let's trick everybody else.
Yes. Mom.
Well, I mean, you're living your life and you're doing everything exactly as you should.
Thanks for
We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to
The Dance Room.
Get new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. Follow me at Heather Elizabeth. That's Heather with two R's at the end, Elizabeth with two H's. Don't ask. It's just a mess. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Heather Morris TV.
And you can follow me, Ava, at AvaFlave1. That's the number, not the word, on Instagram.
Make sure to subscribe and leave a nice rating and a 5-star review.
And make sure to spread the word.
Spread that word.
See you next week.
See ya.